Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 78, and today is Tuesday, September 11th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so I'm going to be continuing on my process that I started in the last show and kind of this arc I'm going to be doing about sort of developing a new project from sort of start to finish. And I really appreciate all the people who sent me questions, feedback, comments about that. I've been collecting them all on Twitter and email and all that. And I'm not really able to reply to everybody, so just know that everything you send, I will read, and I will try and incorporate as best I can. Sometimes there's duplication, sometimes there's not. But it's just kind of impractical to actually respond to every person individually for exactly how I do that. But hopefully the results is positive, and I just want to encourage you, if you have those thoughts, I definitely appreciate getting them, and by all means, keep sending them in. I really like it on Twitter, just because it's short and succinct. If you're going to send me an email, please try and smush that down to sort of a kernel of what it is that you're asking, just to make my life a little bit easier. All right, and probably a note, tomorrow is, of course, announcement day, which is very exciting. I'm recording this on Tuesday, September 11th. Tomorrow, Wednesday, September 12th, is the big Apple announcement, new iPhone, all that. I may do an extra episode to cover that, or I may just do it as Thursday's episode. I'll just have to see based on how it goes. All right, so for the main topic I'm going to talk about today when you're building a new project is talking about a little bit of one more thing on prototyping and then how I manage third-party libraries. So first, one more thing about prototyping. I got a couple of little questions about that, and I think an area that I wanted to cover is just sort of the importance of encapsulation when you're prototyping. And if you're not familiar with encapsulation, or it goes by all kinds of different names, I'm sure, but when I say encapsulation, what I mean is the taking functionality and grouping it into distinct classes so that you organize the logic of your application into smaller and smaller parts that have smaller and smaller roles and more focus. And this is really important when you're prototyping. It's in general a pretty good practice. You can get carried away with it for sure. But what I find is really important is having as loose coupling between components as you can. And by that I mean I want to be able to pull things in and out and sort of, oh, change my mind, throw this away. Oh, might change my mind, throw this away. And have that affect as few things as possible, or affect things in as defined of an interface as possible. So as an example, I recently completely changed my data provider underneath the weather application. I was trying one, found some things I didn't like, moved to another. Okay, that's great. And what I ended up having to do is I really only had to change in one place because I'd encapsulated all the data loading functionality into, you know, sort of a class two or three levels deep so that all my view stuff didn't even know that anything had changed. It was all being provided the data in exactly the same format as it was before. It just happened to come from a different source. And all I had to change was the thing that was doing the setting the URL that I wanted to get the data from, and then my actual sort of parser that was taking that and moving it just from a JSON blob into sort of domain objects in my application. And so by doing that, it made that process really easy. It was also very dependable I knew I didn't break a lot of things in doing that. So that's just something that I do a lot, is when you're creating a new project, especially early on, don't feel scared of just, you know, file. It's like sort of make a new class. Have lots of classes. A lot of them you end up throwing away. I've probably deleted about 12-ish classes since I started this project. Things that I built, tried, didn't work, threw it away. But it allows me to do a lot of things really quickly and really safely, rather than if you end up smushing lots and lots of functionality into one thing. It's really important generally to do that, but it's really, really important when you're prototyping early on to do it, because you feel like you're saving time if you're I'll just throw everything into this one logic, you know, or in one place. I'll have my one view controller that has everything in it. And there's a place for that maybe, and that's really only for like true throwaway prototypes I could see doing that, where you are building something expecting to throw it away. It's like a proof of concept. Maybe you can do probably your logic into a view controller. But if you're building something that you're expecting to actually ship at some point, but you're prototyping it, your early phases, your early iterations on it, then it's important to just to break things up as much as you can, because it gives you so much more flexibility and speed while you're doing that prototyping phase. Okay. And so then the next thing I was going to talk about is managing third-party libraries. And I got a lot of feedback on that. And I got a couple of people who said it was great that I said, oh, I use AF Networking. You know, it's the best. And there's a lot of third-party libraries that you'll end up using typically. And often you're going to want to talk – you want to use third-party libraries, but they make your life easier. And that's a very hard thing to judge, potentially. It's often sometimes like, oh, here's this guy who does this library that does exactly what I want. Make sure that is actually exactly what you want. Typically what I find is I never really use third-party libraries for functionality that is, I suppose, specific to my application or in the same problem domain as my application. I almost always write that custom because it's very unlikely that a third-party general-purpose solution is going to fit for what exactly I want. Where third-party libraries and open-source code really come into play is when you are doing something that's very orthogonal, that's very distinct from your application. So the great example there is something like a networking stack. My app is not about networking. I don't really care how I go from a URL to a blob of JSON. I just want a URL blob of JSON. And so something like AF Networking makes that really, really simple for me and handles a lot of the weird edge cases and things that I'd have to do anyway. Another example is JSON parsing. I don't really care how I go from a JSON string to, you know, a collection of NS dictionaries, NS arrays, NS numbers, NS strings. You know, I don't really care how that translation happens, so I go ahead and do it. And so it's using that as a broad guide, though, I think is really constructive to make sure you're not doing things that you really don't want to. And so that's sort of the first part is how do you decide when to use one? And it's always worth playing around with and looking around, seeing what people have done. What I find I do more often than necessarily using third-party libraries in open source is I'll look for inspiration inside them. So if someone's done something similar to what I'm doing, it's like say someone's doing, as an example, I do in my weather app, I have some charts for showing the forecast over the day and some of those kinds of things. And I don't – there's all manner of third-party graphing clients that I could use. But the thing that I was looking at is like the thing is what I want is I want it to look a very specific way. And this is what I'm getting at where I have a very specific domain need for my application. So it doesn't necessarily make sense to do it just generally like that. And so instead of using a third-party plotting library, what I did is I wrote my own. But I went and I looked around at how other people are doing charts, how other people are doing graphs, you know, just looking in their code. Like, don't feel like it's, you know, it's like you go into GitHub, you can browse the project right there, you can look at the code, see how, oh, that's how they do it, and that's how they got their performance up or whatever. That's a great tool for a third-party code that you then are picking and choosing sort of the concepts and bits and pieces from that project, but then ending up with a really custom sort of highly tuned version of that for your particular application. So that's something else I do. And then lastly, what I wanted to talk about is how I organize my third-party libraries. And I've recently, and this is the first time I've ever done it for this project, I've started using a thing called CocoaPods. And CocoaPods, if you're familiar with a package manager from another language, say for example like gems in Ruby or I think Python, PHP, a lot of them have these kind of things that are designed to bundle up functionality in a way that is easy to sort of pull in and out, that you can version well, that you can reference directly in your source control. And CocoaPods is one that's designed to do this for Objective-C projects. And the great thing about it is it integrates really well with Xcode. And so the little bit of sort of how it does it, and I mean, I recommend just looking at their website and going from there. But what CocoaPods do is it takes your Xcode project and moves it inside of an Xcode workspace, which if you're not familiar with, a workspace is just a collection of projects that Xcode is aware of. And you can share code between, and kind of when you build, it builds both projects. But it creates its own project, the Pods project, that handles all the third-party libraries for you. And so that has this really nice effect of separating them out from your code, so you don't have to worry about them there. And it's also handling all of the other stuff that you would sometimes need to do in terms of linking frameworks and all this stuff, all the extra frameworks that you need for this are all pushed over into the pods directory. They're not in your own code. And so that's really nice from a sort of cleanliness perspective of keeping your project clean and light. And whenever you install a new pod, I guess they'd call it, it adds it to that, updates its own Xcode project. It's a project that you should never edit yourself because it's always going to be overridden, and it's kind of like CocoaPods manages that for you. But it works great, and you want to add a new one, you just add it to your pod file, which is a little thing where you specify, like, I want AF networking version 1.0 RC2 or whatever my current one is, and you say pod install, and it installs it. That's it. You can say pod, you can delete it, and then do pod install, and it'll delete it. You can search for different ones. So you can do like pod search JSON, and it'll give you a list of JSON libraries that exist that you can choose from. There's a lot of really nice things like that that I've started using it, and I think I really probably be moving forward. If you're a third-party library developer, I highly recommend creating a pod spec file for your library. It makes it really easy for other people to integrate with, and it's really straightforward. I mean, they make it really really easy. Another nice thing too, you can also have private pods, and I've done this myself for one of the little components that I have internally. So this is code that's not publicly available, but you know, it's in a private GitHub repository, but you can just create a pod spec for it and link to it just like you would normally. And so you can manage your own dependencies internally this way too, which is kind of nice. So definitely worth checking out, and I highly recommend it. There'll be a link in the show notes to the CocoaPods project. All right, so that's sort of the main two topics I'm going to talk about. And to kind of round out our 15 minutes, I'm just going to sort of do a little speculation, a little talking about the new iPhone, what I'm hoping for, what I'm sort of things I'm thinking about as it's coming out. So there's a couple of things that I don't really care about. Whatever it is, I'm going to buy one. That's sort of a given. It doesn't matter what it is, what it costs. This is what I do for a living. So whatever Apple's new hotness is, I'm going to buy one. I'm probably going to buy it unlocked this time, just because I'm still on contract with AT&T, so I'll just need to buy a new one flat out. That's probably better in terms of gradually releasing the shackles AT&T has on me. Things that I'm a little nervous about is 16:9. It's weird because if the screen is a 16:9 resolution, and there's a couple of things you can do to like sort of hack the simulator to make it look like 16:9 and see how your applications respond. And my apps do pretty well. You know, overall it's fine. And especially this app my weather app, I've been building from the beginning to be 16:9 flexible. So you know, it's very in the vertical dimension, it's very flexible. But the thing that I worry about is a lot of these apps I think look funny in 16:9. And by that I mean you have so much space to put information on that, and the information is so tall that you end up with this really strange kind of look to it that it just, maybe I'm just not what I'm used to, but it feels very stretched and odd in that way. And so, I mean, I'm sure we'll get used to it, whatever it is, but that kind of makes me nervous. And as I've been looking at my layouts and my designs, I don't like the aesthetic of 16:9 nearly as much as I do the current dimensions we have on the iPhone. But if that's where they're going, that's where they're going. I'll just, you know, get used to it and adapt accordingly. Things that I really want in the new iPhone is more storage. I'd love for the new ones to be, rather than 16, 32, 64, I would love for the base model to be 32, just because I think that's really what I probably want, is about a 32 gig, and it'd be nice for it to be $100 less. And otherwise, I don't really care. I mean, there's so many things that, like, Apple could do this, and the other. It's like, if it has LTE, that's great. I hope that works. You know, right now I'm still on an AT&T unlimited plan from back in the day, so I have no idea if that would work with LTE. And if it does, great. I got a nice, fast connection. At least where I am, I have pretty good AT&T LTE coverage. I know it varies based on where you are. NFC doesn't really make any sense. A slightly slimmer form factor, sure. Better battery life, maybe. If they could squeeze out more battery life, I'd love it, but not really holding my breath on that. And otherwise, I just look forward to enjoying the ride. I'm sure there'll be some cool things in iOS 6 that I take advantage of. And, you know, it's an exciting time as a developer. I know I'll sort of get out the popcorn, enjoy watching the live blogs, and I hope you do too. All right, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, I'm on Twitter @_DavidSmith. And otherwise, I hope you have a good announcement day. Enjoy it, and I'll talk to you afterwards. Bye.